Prometheus Bound. With simmering fury, Zeus watched the survival of Pyrrha and Deucalion and the rise of a new race of men and women from the stones of the earth. No one, not even the king of the gods, could interfere with the will of Gaia. She represented an older, deeper, more permanent order than that of the Olympians, and Zeus knew that he was powerless to prevent the repopulation of the world. But he could at least turn his attention to Prometheus. The day dawned when Zeus decided the Titan should pay for his betrayal. He looked down from Olympus and saw him in Phocis, assisting in the laying out of a new town, meddling, as ever, in the affairs of men. Humankind had propagated in the twinkling of an immortal eye, which we would call the passage of several centuries. All this while Prometheus had, with titanic patience, encouraged the spread of civilization amongst mankind 2.0, once again teaching people all the arts, crafts, and practices of agriculture, manufacture, and building. Adopting the form of an eagle, Zeus swooped down and perched on the timbers of a half-built temple that was to be dedicated to himself. Prometheus, who had been carving scenes from the life of the young Zeus into the pediment, looked up and knew at once that the bird was his old friend. Zeus assumed his proper shape and inspected the carving. "If that's supposed to be Adamantia with me there, you've got the proportions all wrong," he said. "Artistic license," said Prometheus, whose heart was beating fast. It was the first time the two had spoken since Prometheus stole the fire. "The time has come to pay for what you have done," said Zeus. "Now, I could call up the Hecatoncheires to carry you forcibly to your destination, or you can choose to bow to the inevitable and come without fuss." Prometheus laid down his hammer and chisel and wiped his hands with a leather cloth. "Let's go," he said. They did not speak or pause for rest or refreshment until they reached the foothills of the Caucasus Mountains, where the Black and Caspian Seas meet. Along the journey, Zeus had wanted to say something, had longed to take his friend by the shoulder and embrace him. A weeping apology might have allowed him to forgive and make up. But Prometheus remained silent. Zeus's stinging sense of being wronged and ill-used flared up anew. "Besides," he told himself, "great rulers cannot be seen to exhibit weakness, especially when it comes to betrayal by those close to them." Prometheus shaded his eyes and looked up. He saw the three Cyclopes standing on a great sloping wall of rock that formed one side of the tallest mountain. "I know you're good at climbing up the sides of mountains," Zeus said, with what he hoped was icy sarcasm, but which emerged even to his ears as something more like sulky muttering. "So climb." When Prometheus reached the place where the Cyclopes were, they bound and fettered him, and stretched him out on his back, hammering his shackles into the rock with mighty pegs of unbreakable iron. Two beautiful eagles swept down from the sky and glided close to Prometheus, blocking the sunlight. He could hear the hot wind ruffling their feathers. Zeus called up to him, "You will lie chained to this rock forever. There is no hope of escape or forgiveness, not in all perpetuity. Each day, these eagles will come to tear out your liver, just as you tore out my heart. They will eat it in front of your eyes. Since you are immortal, It will grow back every night. This torture will never end. Each day the agony will seem greater. You will have nothing but time in which to consider the enormity of your crime and the folly of your actions. You, who were named Foresight, showed none when you defied the King of the Gods. Zeus's voice rang from the canyons and ravines. Well, have you nothing to say? Prometheus sighed. You are wrong, Zeus, he said. I thought my actions through with great care. I weighed my comfort against the future of the race of man. I see now that they will flourish and prosper independently of any immortals, even you. Knowing that is balm for any pain. Zeus stared at his former friend for a long time before speaking. You are not worth eagles, he said with an awful coldness. Let them be vultures. The two eagles immediately changed into rank, ugly vultures who circled the outstretched body once before falling upon it. Their razor-sharp talons sliced open the Titan's side, and with hideous screeches of triumph, they began to feast. Prometheus, mankind's chief creator, advocate, and friend, taught us, stole for us, and sacrificed himself for us. We all possess our share of Promethean fire. Without it, we would not be human. It is right to pity and admire him, but, unlike the jealous and selfish gods, he would never ask to be worshipped, praised, and adored. And it might make you happy to know that, despite the eternal punishment to which he was doomed, one day a hero would rise, powerful enough to defy Zeus, unbind humanity's champion, and set him free.